This is Scripture on Creation with Dr. Ben Scripture. With a Master of Divinity, a PhD in biochemistry, and over 30 years of experience studying and teaching about creation, he is well equipped to discuss biblical and scientific perspectives on creation, science, and intelligent design. This and past programs are also available as a free podcast, so you can listen anytime. And now, here is Scripture on Creation.
Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, you've been traveling to several places over the last few months, each place involving visits with family, something many people have not had the blessing of doing over the last 9 months or so.
Yeah, that's right, Scott. I've been able to visit my son's family in San Diego in September and enjoy my four grandsons there. And then in Michigan, we celebrated Thanksgiving with a couple of my sisters and had time to visit with them along with several nieces and a nephew. And at Christmas, my daughter and her family came to our home, joining us to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. Now, I know that there are many, many folks, for various reasons, most related to the pandemic, who have not had the joy of gathering with their families lately. And my heart goes out to all of them. And it's my hope and prayer that you all will be getting together soon.
I think it's become pretty clear as we all hear one another's reflections on the effects of the pandemic that time together with friends, church members, and family members who we don't live with is something we'll now appreciate much more than we had in the past.
I agree, Scott. As a grandparent, I cherish every opportunity to not only have fun with my grandchildren, but have educational and spiritual input into their lives. So, for example, when we went out to see my son Luke's family in San Diego, one of the things at the top of my to-do list while there was to go to the world-famous San Diego Zoo with the boys.
You know, I've heard that zoo is one of the best in the world. So did you go?
Absolutely. And I couldn't wait to discuss with the boys all the amazing characteristics God had placed in all those wonderful creatures he made. And frankly, I figured I'd need to correct a lot of evolutionary commentary as we read the various exhibit descriptions.
Naturally.
But you know what, Scott? I was very pleasantly surprised. There was almost nothing in the displays and descriptions of the animals at the San Diego Zoo about evolution.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I admit, we certainly didn't have time to see the entire zoo by any means. But in all that we saw, which was extensive, the only thing related to evolution I saw, and I was looking for it, was one reference to a very unusual-looking alligator's ancestry, which they claimed went back millions of years. And that was it. Even the Galapagos tortoise exhibit didn't refer to evolution.
Okay, Dr. Scripture, this might be a little off topic, but I have a question. What's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile?
Scott, I'm a little embarrassed to say I've got a zoology degree and I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
You know, it might be that crocodiles live in the southern hemisphere and alligators in the northern hemisphere.
So it's the accent.
Yeah. But actually, I don't know for sure. That's embarrassing. But anyway, getting back to the evolutionary exhibits, it was downright refreshing to not be assaulted with the normal evolutionary agenda of the average zoological gardens in this country.
That is surprising to hear, Dr. Scripture. So do you have any explanation for it?
No, I don't. I mean, the Institute for Creation Research was headquartered in that area for many years. But I can't imagine that that's why the zoo refrains from presenting a bunch of evolutionary commentary. But for whatever reason, I was very pleased and grateful. We were all able to just enjoy the fantastic display of God's creative genius demonstrated in the wonderful diversity of organisms he has created.
So you had a good time with your son Luke's family. Did you do anything special with your daughter's family?
Well, funny you should ask, Scott. I did do something special, in particular with my daughter. You know, we've interviewed my son Luke on the program and a couple of his boys, but not Carolyn or any of her family. So while they were at our home for several days over the Christmas holiday, I used that opportunity, as you well know, to bring her to our studio and interview her. So Scott, let's hear it.
You got it.
I want everyone to meet the person behind the voice that introduces our Scripture on Creation program every week. I couldn't be more proud to introduce Carolyn Scripture Pritchett. Carolyn, it's so great to have you on the program today.
Yes, thanks for having me, Dad.
Yes, Carolyn Scripture Pritchett. Well, Carolyn, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. Well, I have been married to my husband, Ryan. He's a wonderful husband for 10 years. We have 4 beautiful children. Carrie is 7, Lorian is 5, Seth is 3, and Moira is 2.
And I couldn't be happier that you've provided Karen and I 4 wonderful grandchildren. So what do you do?
I stay at home with my little hooligans. Carrie and Lorian are in first and kindergarten, but Seth and Moira are at home with me all day still.
But you do have an education background.
Yes, I do. I went to Emmaus Bible College, and I got a double major. I majored in elementary education and biblical studies.
So, Emmaus Bible College, that's a special school.
Yes.
What did you think about your education there, your time there?
I really enjoy going to Emmaus. It's a very small community, and so it just feels like a family, and the professors really care about you, and they want to see you succeed. They want to get personally involved in your education and your spiritual walk. So it's definitely a time of growth and a time of just coming of age there. It was really good.
Yeah. Now, obviously, one of the things that's important to me, and especially in a college education, is your training in creation. They don't have a science program there, but what kind of creation context did you receive in the various classes that you took?
We had to take some core science classes. We took, you know, biology and physics and things like that. And Mr. Iverson was very good about bringing forward, you know, the truth of creation. And also, you're presenting evolution so we'd be aware, but always giving a biblical perspective on things.
And that's a real priority of the school, I know. Well, you being a person who has probably heard more Scripture on Creation presentations than just about anybody in the world, except for maybe your mother, what was it like hearing Dad give those talks all the time?
Well, it was very informative. I learned a lot. I learned enough to probably be able to give it myself sometimes if called upon.
Yeah, we used to laugh about that. If I got laryngitis or if I couldn't show up, my kids probably could have given the talk themselves. But, you know, that in a practical way had an impact on some of the opportunities that you had in especially high school. I know that in your biology class at high school, you had some pretty interesting conversations, let's say, with your teacher. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I do remember one instance. We were starting our chapter about origins of the universe and things. And at my high school, during the time, the curriculum called for a balanced presentation of both evolution and creation. My teacher, however, did not think that was a good idea. He was not a believer. He definitely didn't really want to be teaching about creation, and we could tell. So he's giving his presentation. He says, oh, I'm going to have to tell you about this creation thing, and on day one, God apparently created the sun, and I raised my hand. I said, I think he just created light on day one, and oh, whatever, okay. On day two, he made water, and I raised my hand again and said, well, he separated the waters. He made the sky. And he's like, well, if you know so much, why don't you go ahead and tell us? So I went ahead and gave the 6-day creation account.
To your biology class.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. When Carolyn came home and told us about that, we were so proud and obviously very tickled as well. So,
That was definitely out of character for me. I'm not usually very vocal in class, but I felt like that needed to be said.
That had to be addressed. That was great, Carolyn. Well, that would also give you opportunity to share with your friends and students, whether at Emmaus High School or people that you worked with, about creation. Did you ever get into conversations about creation versus evolution with folks?
I did in college, for sure. I remember a coworker who would ask me about my faith and just, why do you believe this old book? You know, why do you think that's true? And what if there was some evidence that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible was wrong and things like that? and just asking why I believe that God created the world when there's so much evidence against that. And I said, well, there's not really that much. And I explained that I started my basis of belief on faith, which, you know, I admitted that. And I tried to point out to him that he also is starting his basis of belief on faith, that the Bible is not correct. So yeah, I don't know if it came to any fruition or anything, but we had lots of conversations about biblical truth.
That's great. You mentioned the ages of your children, and little Carrie and Lorian are starting in public school. And the school that your kids are going to, just like the school that you went to, is very conservative comparatively with so much of the rest of the world, especially in large cities. But with your children starting public school, what are some of the challenges that you're facing?
They definitely have things slipped in there that are not true. Carrie came home the other day and said, Mom, did you know that birds came from dinosaurs? And I did a double take. I'm like, you know that birds didn't come from dinosaurs? What are you saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's only seven. She doesn't have the critical thinking skills to say, wait, they're telling me this. That's not what I've been taught. And yeah, so, you know, we got that one straightened out. And I mean, anytime we go to a museum or, you know, just anything, it's just subtly told to them, you know, millions of years ago, billions of years. And we just have to really be on our guard as parents to make sure that we know what our kids are learning and make sure that they know the truth and, you know, backpedal from some of these things that these trusted sources, you should be trusted sources, are telling them.
Right. Well, I remember we always made it a priority in raising our family that we would talk about what happened in school. And, you know, so often I hear parents saying that, oh, they asked their kid something about school and the kid just goes, well, I don't know. And then they just sort of leave it there. Carolyn, did we ever let you say, well, I don't know?
Nope.
We would say, that is not an acceptable answer, and you tell us what was going on. And it wasn't confrontational. It was just, that was some of the things that we felt were important and fun to discuss around the dinner table and opening the door for the opportunity that you just mentioned. Carrie comes home, she mentions something about something she was taught that was wrong, and that is an educational opportunity then. So, Carolyn, I am so thrilled. I'm so proud of the way you're raising your family. And, oh, by the way, is that LEd education that you got, even though you're not being paid, is that coming in handy at all?
Oh, definitely. Yep. Yeah.
So, Carolyn, it was great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for introducing and closing our programs every week. And God bless you. And by the way, thanks again for the grandkids.
You are welcome. My pleasure.
Well, Dr. Scripture, Carolyn seems like a chip off the old block. I can tell you're extremely proud of her, and with good reason.
Well, thanks, Scott. It is a priceless blessing to experience the lives of your children walking faithfully with the Lord and training their children to do the same. But I want to stress to the Christian parents who are listening, and the grandparents too, the passing on of a Christian heritage doesn't happen through the genes. It happens through the Spirit. It takes discipline, consistency, sacrifice, and most of all, love. Love for the Lord and a genuine love for your offspring that puts their well-being, their spiritual well-being, before your own wants and comfort. But the delayed gratification is more than just worth it. It brings the greatest of joys. The Apostle John, in 3 John verse 4, is speaking of his spiritual children, which is what our children and grandchildren should end up being, when he says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. That's what Scripture says, and that's what I say too.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the program. If you would like to hear this or past episodes of the program, you can listen to them on our free podcast, Scripture on Creation. If you have comments or questions you'd like Dr. Scripture to answer, contact him by calling 574-551-1524 or by sending an email to scripture@scriptureoncreation.org.